Right now it is time for us to be joined once again by Dr. Mark Herko from Sharon Hospital as we get another several updates we get a month from Mark. Good morning, Mark, and thanks for joining us again this morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So I'm going to give you a quiz like I gave my audience earlier this morning, except you can't win a gift certificate, but I'll see if you know the answer.
All right.
The only two states in the United States of America that have shown a decrease in the amount of deaths, the amount of infections, and hospitalizations of COVID-19.
Hey, Connecticut and Rhode Island.
Here you go. You're right on top of that. I saw that. Now, folks in New York who got upset at me said, "Well, New York is doing a great job, but especially from where they were, but they're considered holding steady right now, and so is New Jersey." But basically, all four of those states really outrank what the rest of the country is doing. And as a doctor, Mark, I mean, I try to explain this to people all the time. If ever you want to see an example, Connecticut is a great example, because for the amount of population we had and for the amount of infections and hospitalizations we had and deaths, we really have made a difference by doing two things, and that's social distancing and wearing a damn mask.
I tell you, that's all it really takes. And it's just, it's a little discouraging when you see the rest of the country who really didn't take that seriously. And now everything that we lived through for those 3.5 months, where we were locked down and everyone else was saying it's they were kind of blaming New England and this whole region for not being vigilant. And then, we were just the first ones up, and no one really seemed to, take that to heart. And now we're bearing the burden of that. And it's a shame, because this area is an example of how, if you just do basic common sense, as you mentioned, wearing a mask and social distancing, how we can keep this thing relatively under control.
And as a doctor, to hear you say that, I think it's so good. Jill and I talked about this, and I guess one thing I'd like you to really point out to people, what the virus is here now, and it's not going away. So, I mean, we as people have to learn to deal with it. I mean, other countries are doing this as well as Connecticut and Rhode Island. I mean, it's not going away. We have to learn to deal with it, right?
Oh, definitely. And that's the take-home point is, it's the numbers that we're seeing of everything going up doesn't mean that we're that we're just testing more. It just means it is prevalent throughout the environment, and now we're just catching up in regard to recognizing the amount of people that actually have been infected.
All right. So what else is going on at the hospital now that you can? I mean, you still have to remain vigilant. I know that, but obviously you now have really room to operate and do lots of other different things that you were doing beforehand.
Oh, we are. We're up to about 78% of normal capacity and volume in regards to our surgeries and some of our outpatient procedures, particularly radiology and lab testing. The sticking point has always been, how do we control the access? Who do we give the masks to? Who do we mandate to bring their own masks? Because once you open the door and say, we can let everybody in, and then we're going to provide you a mask if you don't have that. Once that gets out, we're going to just burn through all our supplies within months, and we're going to be stuck, because there is still a shortage in regards to manufacturing of masks and PPE. So all that trouble that we heard months ago, it's still there. It's just that we keep ratcheting up the amount of people that actually need it, and it's barely keeping up with that.
It's a complicated thing that has become politicized, and medicine is one thing that really shouldn't be politicized. It's because medicine operates basically on testing and facts, and it's nice to hear you give the facts the way they are. I mean, also, I received a press release about Nuvance Health. You now have in your system 139 medical residents and fellows across the whole system. For orientation for the upcoming academic year?
Oh, we do. That's just the new crew. I mean, if you add the 45 that we started last year on the New York side, plus the 135 now, with six residency, a new total of six new residency programs, You're looking at the beginnings of a large, major academic type of institution and program and system, where if you combine actually what's been going on the Connecticut side with the affiliation of the University of Vermont and the residency programs at Danbury and Norwalk, you know, we're going to be in the mid-300 number of residents when all is said and done, which is a very large academic type of area. So we're really working on it. We're trying to control the way we bring it out, and we want to do it in a very I hate to say controlled again, but a way that it actually is appropriate for the environment, particularly with primary care, which is where everyone knows we're short.
And when you talk about primary care, this is what I brought this up for, is that during the past 3.5 months, when really probably 85% of your energies were focused on the pandemic, and you still have a huge percentage of what you're doing focused on the pandemic because it's out there and it's not going away, the hospital has to operate and do other things, and one of them is to have more physicians and to train more physicians. I mean, without the physicians and practicing physicians to refer people to the hospital, it's that's a major part of what you do.
Well, it is, and that's always been the linchpin in this area. It's once people are here and you know that they spent some time here, they tend to stay here. But getting them here, the recruitment has been always difficult for physicians in specific specialty areas. So HealthQuest, which then became Nuvance, made the decision, you know, 4 years ago that we were going to go ahead and grow our own. That was the only way we were going to achieve the goals we needed to have well-rounded primary care and a strong bench where we can actually then recruit from our people that we're actually training, hopefully get them to stay here. Because as part of my prior life, I was the program director for many years of general surgery programs, cardiovascular service lines, and currently I'm still the associate DIO or designated institutional official, which is a big word. It's like the chief academic officer. I'm the number two person on the New York side still. So we've got a lot invested in this, and we're so happy to see it growing and people in the region, particularly the young medical students, taking to heart and actually coming to our programs.
I think that's one of the things that people don't understand is that doctors and their practices, doctors that have been practicing for 25, 30, 35 years might want to get out of practicing. And sometimes, as you see in North Canaan, there's not another doctor there to replace. And that's an important part of your whole chain as a healthcare facility. And now I would think with Nuvance having so many different locations and so many different areas, that it will be a little easier, possibly, to recruit people for this area through this program?
I have fingers crossed, and I'm holding my breath. That's the thing. We still have a few years to go before the first trainees are ready for graduation, and we hope that we can make this a palatable area and package for them to want to stay here. So that's why it's to our benefit to treat them well. We pay them well as trainees, give them a very well-rounded experience, and show them that it's this is a good area to live. And it's just all those pieces have to fit together. And statistically, that what we've noted nationally for the last probably 50 years is that about 80% of the graduates tend to practice within 100 miles of where they trained. So that's what we're really banking on, that we can actually keep them here.
All right, and one final question, which is more like a personal question, but it was asked to me this morning because when I asked that you were coming on. Physical therapy and departments like that, are they open now for appointments from people, or are they still virtual or not?
No, they've been open. Actually, they were open throughout.
That's
we just
what I
had
thought.
To space them out, particularly. So, and we're slowly. We had to reconfigure our physical and occupational therapy departments to handle the volumes because you can't have people too close. And you get to actually see me because we use the gym there, and so that's how I know that the people are coming. And we've actually added some extra hours and we're really trying to make it available for more people throughout. And so that's actually been one of our success stories, that's bouncing back very quickly.
All right. Well, thanks. Anything that you want to add that I haven't hit upon before we say so?
Just know that as you come into the hospital, you'll be your temperature will be checked remotely with remote devices. We currently do not offer the nasal swab test officially to the community. We're only doing that for employees right now. We still offer the antibody test if people want to be tested for antibodies. That's the serum test. And just be patient as we, again, go through all the manipulations to guarantee everyone's safety as they come in for the facility to achieve the standard of care in healthcare.
All right, Mark, keep up the good work. More information at SharonHospital.org, and we'll speak to you in a couple of weeks, Mark.
Thank you. You too. Enjoy the holiday.
You too. Take care.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
Dr. Mark Herko, Sharon Hospital, with another update here on Robin Hood Radio.